Now, when the war was going on, what were you doing during that time?
Well, after we'd played those army camps, we came back, Toby and I did, and we worked in the shale plant. You know, they kept saying if you're not in the service, they need you in some kind of job.
Where was that plant at?
It's between here and Glencoe.
Oh.
It was a big plant at that time.
And what were you making?
We were making shale. Yeah.
Oh.
I'd never worked in a plant.
Mm-hmm.
But Toby had. So we signed up and worked for the machine shop.
Yeah.
And Toby could do all that kind of stuff. And we worked about 14 months till
right?
The war was over.
And they made, here in America, I know they, like you said, you felt like you were doing your part by working.
That's right. That's right.
And most all the industries were
that's
converted to
yeah.
to the war effort.
That's right.
Were there a lot of women working in there?
Good many.
Yeah.
That's long about the time women started to
work
in that place.
Before
like
that, they you wouldn't find any
that's
women.
Right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And what was there any kind of problems between the men and the women working in there?
I don't think so. Because it got to be a time when they were needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many men and in the service still. It was necessary that they step in at that time.
And everybody kind of felt patriotic.
That's right.
And loyal
right.
to their country like they were. Let's see, and after the war, what happened after the war?
Well, when I came back here to stay, then, I doing a 2.5-hour radio program in the morning early, and then from 12 to 1 in the noontime.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this show every Saturday night down at the City Auditorium for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Miles was sponsoring part of my early morning program.
Yeah.
So I got to hanging around the car lot and just kind of accidentally got to selling automobiles.
Mr. Miles owned the car lot.
That's right. Right. That's
what kind of cars was he selling back then?
He just bought the Dodge dealership.
Okay.
He'd probably one of the greatest salesmen I've ever saw in 45 years.
Is that right?
Right.
At that time, what year was that about?
I did 48.
48. All right. How many car lots were around in town like Gadsden?
Well, just about all the new car dealers, you know, like Chevrolet and Ford and Buick. But there was no foreign car market at that time, you see.
Yeah. Were cars getting more and more popular right after the war?
It took a while for them to get started making enough to get back to the dealer, you know, enough for him to really.
Yeah. How many? And probably not every family had a car back
that's
then.
That's right.
But how many?
I remember when we sold our first cars for a family to have two cars.
Oh, really?
We thought that was going pretty big, you know.
That's a big step.
Yeah.
Let's see. So you began selling cars there, and did you still have your
still had the early radio show,
yeah,
and had the Saturday night show,
mm-hmm.
and then we'd go out of town and make some personal appearance, you know.
Yeah.
During that time, we played one Sunday evening down at Montgomery,
mm-hmm.
and there was the opera acts and our show from here. And a young fella, about 15 years old, he and his mother lived there. And he had a little local band. And he was named Hank Williams. And we met him. And he sang on the show down there. That was probably 5-6 years before he went on up to the Grand Ole Opry.
Down in Montgomery.
Or started making records.
Mm. He was 15 at that time?
That's right, about 15 or 16.
What do you remember about him?
Well, I know he was a good singer at that time.
Yeah.
And then another year or two, I brought him up to Gadsden one Saturday night. And I still got the newspaper clipping.
Yeah.
And I believe we just charged 25 and 50 cents. But that was before he got popular. But
yeah.
He had a wonderful talent. He was just...
Mm-hmm.
He had a wonderful talent.
What do you remember about him personally? I know he died very, very young.
That's right. I think he was probably one of the greatest songwriters. I think he was a greater writer than he was a singer.
Because
he could be riding along in a car and just write a song that would make a hit. Mm. Back then, out of New York, they had a hit parade on Sunday evening, and they'd play the 10 top hits, you know, of the week. And a lot of times he'd have 7 or 8 out of the 10 that he wrote himself.
Yeah. What were some of his earlier songs?
Well, of course, That and About the Hound Dog was real big.
Yeah.
And that Love Sick Blues, that really, I guess, was his biggest song.
Yeah.
But this Rex Griffin that I'm talking to that was raised here, he wrote songs way back then. Bing Crosby and them guys recorded songs. And Rex worked some school shows with us. And he used to sing Love Sick Blues before we ever heard of Hank Williams, you know.
Is that right?
So, a few years ago, I told somebody that maybe Hank didn't write Love Sick Blues. And somebody that writes for the Time magazine, they called and talked to me, and I told them what I knew about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're assigned a guy to look it up. And some guy up north wrote it.
Yeah.
And Rex Griffin had a record recorded of it, maybe 6 or 8 years before Hank Williams. So Time magazine put it in their magazine, what I said.
Is that right?
And they sent me 17 of Hank's brand new records that I still got at home, which I appreciated.
Yeah. But Hank was given credit for writing that song.
Because those guys didn't make copyright of it.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So he was in his rights to do it, you know.
So he just kind of claimed it.
That's right. That's right.
Well, all right before the war, you said you had a group up and you toured around.
Yeah, that we had our local band here in Gadsden, and we signed up with Henny Brothers Circus at that time, and they traveled by railroad. We had our sleeping quarters and everything on the railroad, and we was gone from Gadsden for 7 months. We played a different town every week. We stayed in a town a week at a time, and we went on into Canada and ran like that. And that was when the war was just beginning to get started. And the sale of war bonds at that time was big.
Yeah.
So we helped sell war bonds even in New York and Buffalo and a lot of those northern towns. Mm-hmm. We'd take the band with the mayor or somebody like the city official.
Yeah.
And we'd go down in the main part of town maybe. And we'd play a few songs politicians would talk about the war bonds, you know, which we enjoyed quite a bit.
Yeah.
Seen a lot of country.
Where all did you travel around?
Well, of course, we left. The first show was in Birmingham, and we went on like to Chattanooga and just kept going. Mm-hmm. And then we came back down through the Carolinas after we'd been in Canada around up there. We played a lot of fairs. That year, played a lot of fairs over in the Carolinas.
Mm.
And we came back that fall and played the Birmingham Fair for the week. So I played the Birmingham Fair twice. We played it 1 week with Dubs, and then we played it 1 week for their own band.
Yeah. What was you said you sold those war bonds. Was that a popular thing for people to start doing
at that time? At that time, it was very popular, you know, yeah. Because it raised money for the government, you know.
Yeah. Then let's see. Then, like when the war first started, you said you were back. You were here in Gadsden, right?
That's right.
And you had your weekly show. Or is that right?
That's right.
Shows on the weekends.
Yeah.
Did people still come out at the same? You know, at the same. Rate they were previous to the war, or was there?
Well, it was pretty popular. Of course, you know, we had an army camp here in Tyler almost,
right.
You know, Camp Cyber.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of soldiers. And naturally, they liked to get out and go somewhere on Saturday night.
Come into town on the weekend.
Yeah, it was real. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was wondering if when people got shipped off, you know, the men and all went overseas, if the popularity of shows like that would decline because, if, you know, so many people would be out of town.
Well, I don't know. It might have, you know, we hope gave some relief to people that didn't have an opportunity to get out.
Right. Yeah.
Do something kind of different and so forth.
What was the economic situation like right before the war was?
Well,
I mean, there was still a depression.
That's right. You know, wages was very low, and there just wasn't that many jobs. Right. You know, people talk about doing something to create jobs, and of course that's a bad way to look at it, but the war did create a lot of jobs.
Right.
You know, it created a lot of jobs.
Yeah. Kind of brought everybody out of the depression.
That's right. That's right.
But what was the depression like for you personally? How did it hit you? Do you remember?
Well, I tell some of them a lot of times that I lived half my life before I ever made any money. And probably haven't made too much yet. But, you know, people were used to things being hard, you know, and it wasn't as bad as you would sit back and think about, you know, because you weren't used to having all this stuff that we have this day and time.
Yeah, you didn't just wake up one day and all of a sudden not have it.
That's right.
Y'all started out pretty.
That's right.
Well, you know, you mentioned your daddy dying. Was that a hardship on the family, money wise, economic wise?
Yeah, because you know, you farming out there with a mule and a plow, and a bale of cotton might bring $40 or $50 that you work all the spring and summer to raise, you know. And, then when you picked it and carried it to town, why, maybe it brought $40 or $50.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, back then, you just didn't go to town that much, you know.
Yeah.
You didn't have no money, so there wasn't too much need of going.
And it was you and your older brother. How much older was he?
4 years.
So he was about 15.
That's right.
When your father died.
That's right.
And that kind of left y'all in charge of the farm.
Yeah.
And your mother was... I guess she had to get out and work.
Well, back then, you know, your mother would get up and cook breakfast and maybe fix something for a lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd go to the field and work too.
Yeah.
And you'd come home at dinner and eat, milk the cows at night, churn the butter, and go out the well and draw a bucket of water. When they washed them clothes, they'd go down to the spring and take a battling stick and beat them clothes out, you know. Of course, it's pretty hard on ladies now because They got them washers, yeah. Water washing their hands.
That's right. Well, did your sisters? I guess they had to get out there and work alongside of y'all
back
too.
Back then, everybody did. Everybody worked in the field.
Yeah, that's right.